Good morning. Have we all taken some time out this morning to consider our moms and how we will later express our love and appreciation for them? Perhaps they'll come in forms of flowers and breakfast in bed earlier today, dinners tonight, Hallmark cards, or other gifts. Three very successful sons were discussing the gift that they gave to their elderly mother on Mother's Day. The first said, "Hey guys, I gave mother a top-of-the-line Mercedes fully loaded." Then the second son said, "Well, one up on you, brother. I built a big house for our mother." And then the third said, "Hey guys, I've got you both beat. You know how mother enjoys the Bible? And how she cannot see very well now? Well, I sent her a parrot that can recite the entire Bible. It took 12 years and 20 monks in a monastery to train this bird about the whole Bible. And although it was quite costly, I had to pledge to give $100,000 a year for 10 years. But hey, our mom is worth it. Mom just has to name the chapter and verse, and then the parrot recites it perfectly." Soon after, their mother sent out her thank you letters to her sons. To her first son, she wrote, "Thank you, Marvin, but I'm nearly blind, so I can't drive. I stay home all the time, and it's so sad I never get to use the car." To her second son, she wrote, "Thank you, Michael, but the house you built is too big. I only live in one room, but now I have to clean the entire house." And to the third son, she wrote, "Dearest Melvin, you are the only son to have a good sense to know what your mother likes. That chicken was delicious." Today, may we all bless our mother with love, thanksgiving, and gifts. Whether she is near to us or far away or now with the Lord. Whether or not we send her a Hallmark card or $1 million chicken. May she be remembered today as priceless and worth far more than rubies. On a serious note, over the recent months, we've been all captivated by all the events being reported through TV, internet, and social media. Through CNN, BBC, ABC News, Facebook, and Twitter, we receive real-time reports and graphic images of things that would be far removed in the past generation. Bad news has become up close and personal in almost every one of our homes. Unprecedented mega earthquakes around the globe, such as in Chile, in Pakistan, in New Zealand, in Burma, and then finally a 9.0 in Japan. The subsequent tsunamis and nuclear meltdown and catastrophic loss of life. Our domestic tornadoes that killed so many people and the floods in this country. The spread of political upheaval in Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Syria, and touching us in China. Our economy that is struggling, the rising gas prices we complain about every week, the cuts and debts in our country. We had moments of reprieve with this British national celebration of the royal wedding, followed by an American celebration over the death of bin Laden. How do we explain these things to our kids? As mothers and fathers to this next generation, we are deeply concerned for our children. We want to protect them from harm. We want them to be rooted in Christ, to live well and to love well. But we worry about our kids. Are they sleeping well? Are they truly happy? Will they be able to find deep peace instead of constant stress? Will they overcome temptations and seductions? Will they become really good men and really good women? Will they follow God and finish strong? I wish I could teach a formula to my children that if you do A, B, and C, then you will live happily ever after. Or preach a message in church that if you do X, Y, and Z, that you will live trouble-free. But there is no perfect formula, and they forgot to give us an owner's manual how to raise perfect children for a perfect life. Instead, we have to seek the perfect love of a perfect Savior to build a spiritual home. Being rooted in Christ will secure us when the storms hit. There's a societal concern right now that our educational system is raising a generation of kids, including all of you, who will be an inch deep and a mile wide. That we will shift wherever the winds press us, where we will lack values and conviction to stand up under pressures and storms. And the only way for a tree to survive through a heavy storm is with healthy roots. If the root system becomes rotted with insects or by disease, the tree will die. And we may think that roots grow deep and long, like an anchor into the ground, but actually tree roots systems are naturally shallow and horizontally widespread. Most roots are actually at the top 18 inches of the soil, since more water, oxygen, and minerals are closer to the surface. Underneath the surface, the intricate system of roots is vital as a lifeline connection to the source. So underneath our perfect model Asian facade on our surface, how are our roots doing? Are we rooted or are we rotted? Are we being built up in Christ, strengthened in faith, and overflowing in thankfulness today? This morning we will look at Colossians to build our church and our families. Let's pause for a moment to seek the Lord in prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we humbly approach your throne of grace to lift up our church and our families before you, that you may build in us a spiritual home. Root us firmly in Christ, that we will be overflowing with thankfulness. We treasure the role that you have given to our mothers and our fathers to play in our lives amidst the bad news in the world, to hold our hands and to walk with us in times of celebration and also times of uncertainty. You, O Lord, are our God. You, O Lord, are greater, stronger, and higher. There is no one like you. And if our God is for us, no one could ever stop us. And if our God is with us, nothing could stand against. For you, O Lord, are our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read together the scripture from Colossians, beginning with chapter 1, verse 24. If you can read along with me as we read. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. May he bless the reading of his word. As we make effort to build a spiritual home with families and in our church, we can learn from how the Apostle Paul builds a spiritual home with the young Colossians church. Paul saw all the potential dangers that a young church would encounter. Threats like deceptive words, heresy, human traditions, worldly philosophy, and insisting on Jewish requirements. And the most important thing that Paul was trying to teach them, he taught them about the supremacy of Christ. We may call that the lordship of Jesus. Knowing that Jesus' death and resurrection is enough to reconcile sinners, that Jesus is supreme to rescue all kinds of sinners from all kinds of powers of darkness. The supremacy of Christ is all the more important today as we listen to all the false teachings and all the heresies and all the world philosophies out there. So what does building a spiritual home take from Paul? First, Paul did some hard work for the church. He mentioned, "I suffered for you. To this end, I labored, suffering with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea." Ministry is hard work, and raising a family today is hard work. Often, we feel like we're suffering and struggling and laboring. Many days are long and hard and depressing. But we have to keep focus on the goal, which is loving God and loving the people in our care, and not fixing our eyes or focusing on the suffering or the hardship. Because Paul was rooted in Christ, he fixed his eyes on Jesus instead. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart, from Hebrews 12. Passion, prayer, planning, perspiration, and participation are necessary for every successful ministry, for every retreat, for every mission, for every family. It takes hard work that often leaves us completely exhausted and spent. The hard work needs to be done, but it should not be done by only one person in a house. And as we grow up as a church in our spiritual homes, as we grow up as family members, every member of our church and every member of our family will share in that hard work, in that labor, in that struggle. Now, secondly, building a spiritual home took Paul to do some head work. The early church was vulnerable to heresies and wrong teaching. Today, we have so much that we are vulnerable to again. It was the Apostle Paul's duty to present the Word of God in its fullness, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that they can be presented as perfect in Christ, to be presented as mature and complete in Christ. It was Paul's job to help them, to prevent them from being deceived by fine-sounding arguments. It was Paul's job to warn them about the hollow and deceptive philosophies based on human traditions. Paul was also committed to make the whole counsel of God fully known, to teach and preach it fully and completely. Now, there are some teachings in Scripture today that our generation may deem as very unpopular, as intolerant, as not politically correct, as quite unsatisfying, as homophobic. But it would not be characteristic of Paul to ignore or change or deny any of the teachings in God's Word. And so today it's all the more important in our homes for parents to have meals together and regular family outings to engage their children in daily conversations about really important things in life, about truth, about values, about worldview, about hopes and dreams. This all starts when they're in a crib. And then reflect on what the Word of God says about all of this, about everything. Now, thirdly, Paul did some heart work towards the church. As a spiritual leader, he often verbalized his affection for them and his delight in them. "It's really great to be with you. I delight to see you, how you are and how your faith is, and I'm so proud of you." Paul emphasized how this love interplays, how it's important to the formation of their knowledge of God. And in our world, you know, if we are in a church that loves, if we're in a family that loves, it builds the knowledge of other things, especially the knowledge of God. A growing church would have the reputation of being a place of encouragement, hope, and good cheer, as well as solid biblical teaching and a reproducing ministry. But if we're in a place where we're condemning and we're fragmented, well, that can be a greater hindrance to the evangelism than any intellectual uncertainty. So do we demonstrate at home the affection and delight for other family members? Even as some of you have moved out of your homes and are on your own now, are you still able to demonstrate affection and delight in your family members? And for those who are parents, before engaging in a debate with your teenager, do we listen with enjoyment and smile at them first? Do we approach them with open arms and an open heart? Do we display humility? Do we level the playing field and extend, although it's hard, mutual respect to not make it a one-way debate? Affectionate, loving communication is like oxygen to a flame, and a spiritual home will surely suffocate without it. Hard work, head work, heart work. In Colossians 2, 6 to 7, it's our focus. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Continue to live in him. The NIV renders this as "continue to live in him," but in the original Greek, the verb is peripateo, literally says "continue to walk about with him." Our Christian faith is a walk. It's an ongoing journey, a daily stroll with the Lord. And entering into salvation is not quite finished, the finish line of our Christian faith. We must continue walking. Paul tells us how we are to continue living in Christ, with a sequence of four participles, each carrying a different metaphor or image. The first is being firmly rooted like a tree. In the perfect passive form, it carries the idea that you don't root yourself, but that you have been rooted by God. It expresses an action that is already completed, already done, once and for all, but now there's a continuing result will come from being rooted. When being rooted in Christ, we go to Jesus as our source of grace to supply for all of our family's needs. The second metaphor we have, and the second participle we have, is being built up in him, like a house under construction. More and more progress is made over time. We are under construction, approaching a greater completion day by day. It's not a haphazard process of building, but we have to remember every building is made with a blueprint, with a plan, and we are built upon according to the plan and God's purpose. The third metaphor is being strengthened in our faith, being firmed up and being tested by fire as evidence of maturing faith. How do we know that we're in a growing spiritual home? How do we know that people are alive? How do we know that we're not living with corpses around us. We see that they are living, they're strengthening, they're maturing and growing. And it's exciting for me to see when our youth gain personal conviction about their faith and demonstrate a boldness of their faith in Christ. Now, the picture that you see is an event called See You at the Pole. Many of you have been involved with See You at the Pole before, but this is one of those hallmark things for a teenager to go through in this generation, a testing of your faith. Are you willing to stand around a flagpole early in the morning at your school to pray together when your non-believing friends pass by you, people jeer at you, to stand up for your faith to say, I am a Christian, I am not ashamed of what I believe. I believe in God, who you mock and don't believe in. It's a very difficult thing for students to cross that hurdle. And yet, every year on the fourth Wednesday of September, students all over this country, as well as all over the world now, even though this movement started in Texas, things start in Texas, I don't know why. It started in America, and it's spread out all over the country, all over the world now, where students around other countries are standing around their flagpoles praying when they're not really permitted to, don't have the freedom of religious expression. But in our country, when we do have the freedom to pray, to stand around a flagpole, do we have the courage to do so? And it's a strengthening of our faith. It's not an easy thing to stand around and pray. But God is strengthening our students' faith when they do so. It's exciting every year to be able to see that, and many have in our ministry has been involved through it for, I think, the last 18 years that students have been involved with that. Now, the final participle is overflowing with thankfulness. This one is different because it's not in the passive form. It's not that they were being rooted, being built up, and being strengthened. But the last participle is in an active form. It indicates that what God has done already, and now we take action. And in this fourth action, we are to overflow with thankfulness. And we can picture and imagine a bubbling fountain overflowing, or a cup that is filling over with water, an endless supply of water. And you have to picture it in this way, that God is pouring out, pouring into our cup, pouring into us all of the blessings and all of his goodness and all the things that we have, that fills us with joy and gladness and thankfulness, that we can't help but to pour it out and from our own cups upon everything that we touch. This overflowing with thankfulness, God richly blessing us so that we can then involuntarily bless other people as well, is an overwhelming thankfulness without prompting, without hesitation, without any reservation. All this joy and gratitude and delight is so full within me, within you, that it pours out to everything around us and it floods over. So as we continue walking and living in Christ, may our spiritual homes, both our church and our families, become overflowing with thankfulness. And this is a sure sign to see that we are growing as a spiritual home, that we are rooted deeply, firmly, that we are being built up and changing and growing, maturing, as we are being strengthened and tested, and as we are overflowing with thankfulness, that God would richly bless us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that on this day, but not only once a year, that we give you thanks for the people that you have placed in our lives to nurture us, to care for us, to take care of our sniffles and our disappointments, and to give us good cheer. We are thankful to you, Lord, that Jesus has also filled our lives, that we have been rooted and built up, strengthened, and now have the opportunity to overflow in thankfulness. Father, I pray that you will continue to work in us as we are under construction. Build up this generation, Lord, to serve you, to love you, to shout the name of Jesus in every corner of this world. We pray in your blessed name. Amen.